Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talking About podcast. Today, after many weeks without a guest, after he scared off all our original ones, Sean, we finally got a guest back in Matt Esposito, head of content at The Playgrounder, one of the best NBA sites on the internet. I read their stuff all the time. Sean, you excited?
Yeah, I'm very excited to have Matt on today. And, you know, this is, 33%. Less work that we each have to do, so I can get on board with that. And we have another interesting topic to talk about at the jump here with the latest Daryl Morey news, which just hit the wire this morning as we record this on Thursday.
Yeah, our excitement to have Matt on is only topped by Sixers Twitter's excitement at Daryl Morey stepping down as Rockets GM, and the fact that he just, the smallest possibility that he could somehow come to the Sixers and save us is by far one of the most exciting things. The reaction is just incredible.
It reminds me, I mean, we can talk about all the plausibilities and implausibilities of this news, but it reminds me of when Knicks fans talk about a hot free agent that's available every summer and they all jump on it as if they're going to get him because it's New York and why would he want to go anywhere else, and then they don't even get the meeting. That's kind of what it feels like to me with the Philadelphia Morey connection.
It's good that you bring up free agents too, because that's originally why we wanted to have Matt on. He's been doing some great free agency previews for The Playgrounder. I've been reading those, and before we're going to talk about this Morey thing just a little bit more before we get into that, but Matt, how about you introduce yourself to the people and also give your thoughts on the huge news that Daryl Morey is stepping down as Rockets GM.
Yeah, so I appreciate you guys saying all those nice words about my website. Like, it's really not that great.
It's like, I love it. I read it all the time.
I appreciate it. I feel like it's been really hyped up, like kind of like when you if you're setting someone up for a blind date and you really hype them up and then you get there and it's not all what it's cracked out to be. So please, reserve judgment for now. But in terms of Daryl Morey, I think some people are going to be quick to like look back at his tenure with the Rockets and be like, yeah, they never made it to the finals, right? Like, they never got over the hump. But like, that's really hard to do. Like, that's a really hard thing to do, right? So like, criticizing someone for not making the finals can be a little tough. And at the end of the day, the way I look at it is like, I feel as though Houston was one of those teams we always looked at and was like, man, like, it looks like they're out of assets. It looks like they're out of chess moves. But somehow, some way, Daryl Morey always found a way to keep his team in contention. Whether it was like starting with getting Harden and then getting Chris Paul, and then like bringing in Westbrook, like he always found a way to, and then even like his last ditch effort to go super, super small ball, right? Like, he was always just pulling stuff like out of thin air to keep his team, keep his team in it. So like, yeah, if I was a Sixers fan, I would be excited, because as small as his window is, like, there's a window of opportunity to maybe bring in a guy like Daryl Morey who would love to have the assets the big, big assets that the Sixers have. So I would be excited.
No, it's important you mentioned there how Daryl Morey found his way out of like situations where it felt like there was nothing left to do, because that's how we've often described the Sixers' current cap roster situation, is we've basically, we're kind of stuck now after the moves of the last few years. So that's definitely a big possibility. I mean, if Daryl Morey was to come here, I'm guessing he would not want to be a part of a front office collaboration incorporated. He would probably want full power, as he deserves, as one of the best GMs in the league for the last decade. So I mean, Sean, do you agree with that?
For sure. Yeah, Matt mentioned like he didn't reach the finals, but I think what Bobby Marks actually just tweeted this out a little bit ago, but what he'll always remember as Morey's kind of legacy is that he was the one guy who was willing to kind of go toe-to-toe with Golden State when they had their, you know, stacked dynasty roster, and they almost did it. I mean, they had that 0 for 27 from 3 game or whatever it was. That could have completely changed how people viewed the Houston that period of time for the Rockets, and you know, the Chris Paul injury as well. So there was a couple years there they were right there where if things just fall a little bit differently, then we're having a different conversation, and they probably would still have Daryl Morey as the GM in Houston to this day. So yeah, I mean, he did a great job the continuing to remain a playoff team / contender while never bottoming out was, you know, a masterful job, and he deserves a lot of credit for everything he did while he was in Houston.
No, yeah, and go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
Oh no, you're fine. I was just gonna say, like, when you talk, like, we talk about how impressive it is, and the Western Conference has been better than the Eastern Conference for a long time, whether it's just in depth or sometimes even depth and just top tier talent. But the Sixers, ever since the finals run in 2001 with Iverson, I think just off the top of my head, have won 4 playoff series. The Rockets under Daryl Morey for about 10 to 12 years probably won like 10 to 12 playoff series. That's really good. And like in the last 5 years, I think they won a lot of series. Like making the conference semifinals, making the conference finals year after year after year, it's really hard to do in this league. So that's something that we should just respect, that Daryl Morey built a team that's consistently one of the better teams in the NBA for many years.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I want to bring up is, like, I feel like, so what Morey did that was really, really special and kind of better than what any other executive did was he created a culture, a culture of opportunity in Houston. So like when you look at, so obviously everyone knew that like their assets were tied up in a lot of money, so they would constantly bring in these guys who you thought like their NBA career was either over or like, you know, like on the brink. And he found a way that other GMs still haven't really mastered yet of, like, you know, reaching out to guys saying, listen, if you want to revive your NBA career, you need to come here, play 15 to 18 minutes a night, you know, in practice, shoot 500 threes a game and, you know, like play your tail off on defense. And like, you look at guys like Gerald Green, guys that, you know, even guys like Daniel House, Jeff Green had a major comeback with them this year. It really shows, like, even like reviving PJ Tucker's career, like out of Europe. So like he is fantastic at creating whatever culture that is. So like if you're a team and you're kind of like capped out, you know, that's what he would bring you. But on another note, I don't even know if Daryl Morey is going to be one of those guys who goes back into basketball. Like about him, he's someone who just he's just a different thinker. He's like, and I don't want to sound like I'm talking about, like, I'm, you know, I don't want to sound like Kanye West, like, oh, I'm just like a different thinker. But like, he's someone who you could put in football, basketball, you could put him in Silicon Valley, you could have him run like a presidential campaign and he would be successful because he's so freaking smart. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if he just doesn't come back to basketball, but you know, we'll see going forward.
Yeah, former Liberty Ballers writer Sean O'Connor tweeted out a few minutes ago, when will Morey's stories exclusively on the Ringer podcast network drop, like sometime in the next few weeks?
For sure. He could also join Sam Hinkie at the Starbucks in Palo Alto, and they could come up with ways to revolutionize some tech industry together.
I'll just throw it out there. You know, Daryl, you're an alumnus of my university that I'm attending right now, Northwestern. We would be more than welcome here at Liberty Ballers to bring you on. Just got to throw it out there, you know, just always shoot your shot.
You think he would like the AD job over at Northwestern?
Yeah, pretty good. Oh man, we're probably going down too much of a rabbit hole. There's been no reporting at all yet that the Sixers are interested in Daryl Morey or that they've reached out to him or whatever Daryl's going to do. All we know is that he has stepped down from GM as the Houston Rockets. was just huge news in the basketball world due to his stature as one of the father, like godfathers of modern analytics, and just such a great GM over the years. And yeah, it's big news. Would love to have him on the Sixers. Probably not going to happen based on what we know, but one can always dream. And another thing that Sixers fans are going to be dreaming about is the free agents they can get this summer. Even though it's not a great free agent class, it wouldn't have mattered that much to the Sixers anyways, because the cap situation is dire. And that's where Matt is going to come in and help us. He's been doing such great free agency breakdowns that he can probably help us find some of those maybe lesser known guys that could still help the team.
I hope so. So I definitely like talking about rabbit holes, dude. Like, I don't know what was going on last night. So I went through the regular like ESPN list of free agents. And like within 45 minutes, I was watching like Tyler Dorsey EuroLeague videos, which we will talk about at some point. So like, just know that I have some stuff ready to go. But yeah, so basically for the Sixers, like, you know, like you said, they're kind of capped out. They're most likely going to have the taxpayer MLE, right? Which I think comes out to like $5.7 million, right?
Yeah, so, that's what I saw too.
Right. So like, and so they're going to have that along with some like veteran, the veteran minimum contracts that you can throw out there. So I went over some names, right? And this is, I just want to give you like my approach to this real quick. So I don't know if you guys are like loyal Italians like I am, and I know I don't look it, but so like scolabos is the word for like colander, or like whatever you drain your macaroni in, your pasta. That was my approach to this, right? So like I threw the Sixers cap situation, right? They're $5.7 million into the colander. Then I threw in the list of free agents, and then I threw in their needs, which I thought was like a shot creator and like maybe a backup big, right?
Depending on all the history, yes.
Okay, so like that's a good basis, right?
Yeah.
So I threw that all in the colander, and like I sifted it out, and I looked at what remained, and this is what I have. So do you want me just to like dive right in?
I mean, sure, you can start with some of the guys you have done. There are some typically like smaller guards who could be for cheap options, which I'm really thinking of. But if you've got a list of guys you think are realistic for the Sixers can get and can both help the Sixers, just dive right in. Like what is one of your top options? Like what should one of the Sixers' top options be that they could realistically get?
Okay. And I'm not saying this because his dad is the coach, but I think Austin Rivers would be one of those guys.
I had him down too. Yeah.
Okay, good. So yeah, I mean like his dad's the coach, right? But his dad has also traded him before. So it's not like it's one of those things that's written in stone. You know, one of the things I like to look at for these players is their previous contract. And I think Austin Rivers was making like $2.5 million. So if he were to get part of that 5.7 exception, that's a step up for him. And he brings something to the Sixers that they need, right? They need a guard who can go out and create shots. And like, you know, he is not a starting level player, especially at this point of his career, but he's someone who like, you know, you're not expecting that off of the bench. You're not expecting incredible efficiency. Like you want a guy who's just efficient enough, and he is, right? Like he's, for his career, he's average from three. He can create his own shot a little bit. I think he's a smarter player than what people give him credit for. So what do you guys think about Austin Rivers?
Yeah, I like him a lot. And, you know, coming from Houston, when Daryl Morey takes over, he definitely already has a good relationship with him. So yeah, he, for all the points you mentioned, he's about a league average 3-point shooter, and league average on the Sixers is probably puts him at being a top five shooter on the team already. And not afraid to take the shot, which they don't have a lot of guys that are just willing to kind of try to create something on their own. And he's a solid defender. So I think it wouldn't be a situation where you would have to hide him defensively. And that always comes into question, you know, when the postseason rolls around. So yeah, I think if you can get him for a couple $1 million and kind of slot him into part of that exception, then they would be wise to do so.
Yeah. I mean, I like that too. And I totally agree with the shot creation is there. I mean, especially spot up shooting, or, I mean, Austin Rivers doesn't really spot up shoot more than he loves to do that. Like, in between the legs pullback, like every time he catches the ball, either that or drive to the rim. My one big like concern with him is would be that he's not a very good passer, and this is already like the worst passing team in the NBA. I would just really appreciate more guys who can like functionally pass the basketball to each other. As you know, I don't know if I'm asking for too much from a professional basketball team, but you know, I mean, like, do you feel that way too, Matt?
Yeah, so he can be a ball stopper. Fortunately, I think his time in Houston, though, has kind of like maybe mitigated that just because of their style of play. So, like, I think he's one of those people that if he wants to extend his NBA career, he will learn to, like, catch and shoot. And, like, so that's something that I was kind of thinking about in when I was going over this list as well, was that I feel like one of the main things the Sixers were missing was that JJ Redick type player who like their sole job was to run around screens and shoot, and like Austin Rivers can't be that guy. So like, you know, I think as I go through this list, you're gonna see like some guys are shot creators and other guys are like the running through like floppy action, pin downs, all that stuff, catch and shoot. So you're gonna see like two different lists. But yeah, Austin Rivers doesn't really check off that like JJ Redick mold type of player that I think the Sixers could really use.
Yeah, we could definitely use that type of player. It's probably one of the reasons they should have kept J.J. Redick. One guy I wanted to talk about real quick, I read an article about him on your site recently, Chris Chioza of the Nets. He does things I think could help them. If he's like a league average three-point shooter, I know he's like, some Sixers fans might not have even heard of him up to this point, but he's like a league average shooter. I think he makes pretty good decisions like as a passer. And he, while being small, he can't be that good of a defender. He competes on the end. It's not like Trae Young where he lacks the size and the will. So I kind of like what I've seen out of him. Like, what are you feelings on that, Matt? I know in the article it referenced that Sixers is one of Chioza's best options this free agency.
I really like him. So he's one of those guys where, like, you know, if you talk to different Nets fans or Nets analysts, like, I think you'll find guys that have just a wide range of feelings on him. And, like, for me personally, like, he really passes the eye test. You know, obviously he's not big. I think he's like 5'11 or 6 feet, but he's excellent at running an offense. Like, very, very good at kind of like what we saw Rubio do for the Suns. He could do that on a much smaller scale for like a second unit. And, you know, again, I don't think he's a guy who should be getting like 20 to 24 minutes a game, but even if you played him kind of like in what the Celtics did with Wanamaker, like 15, 16 minutes, and you just say, listen, your task is to play spirited defense and create plays for others and hit shots when you're open. Like, not only will he be able to do that, but he'll be able to do that on a very cheap contract. So like, if you're the Sixers and that's one of your needs, which I think it is, he's a guy who I would maybe even like overpay by like, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars, like, it's not a lot, but like, I would overpay a little bit for him. I do think he has some hidden, you know, potential and utility.
Mm-hmm. Sean, any Chris Chioza thoughts?
I recall Jeff Van Gundy was very high on him because they had the Team USA experience together back when they were using the guys that when the Stars couldn't go. So they're down in Puerto Rico playing the qualifiers, and he performed very well. So I know Van Gundy had some good things to say about him. But yeah, if you know, he's still young, and there's obviously some upside there. He's a little undersized, but if they can get him for around the minimum, then I would absolutely like to see what he can do. And kind of that in the Howell Neto role for the team, where he's like maybe the third point guard, and he could fill in a pinch when there's an injury. I would absolutely like to see Chioza in that role.
The Howell Neto role is a good call because, like, Howell did some of that stuff. The problem is that Howell has so much self-confidence that he thinks he should be taking all the shots when he's on the court, and he would try, like, these insane, like, reverse layups or, like, floaters out of nowhere. And I'm just hoping Chioza is a little more grounded in knowing that he is just more a backup guard who kind of helps the team. But then again, this is also, like, I mean, I really like Chioza, but this is kind of a good way to think of where the Sixers are actually at. We're getting excited and thinking, oh, he could really help them, of a 5'11 guard who hasn't played in the league very much, finished in the 16th percentile at rim finishing this year. He's not that's a big weakness of his. Like, that's the unfortunate truth for Sixers fans, is because of the decisions of the last few years, like, you're not going to do that much better than the Chris Chioza types. Like, you could get, like, bigger names, maybe, like, I don't know if they're willing to take the money, like Reggie Jackson or Jeff Teague, and I'm not necessarily convinced that those two would be better for the Sixers than Chioza, just because of whereas Chioza is probably more willing to accept the smaller role, those guys might be a little more, like, I mean, I don't know if you saw Reggie Jackson, if we were watching Reggie Jackson too close in the bubble, but he was probably taking, like, 10 too many shots every game with the Clippers.
We've come a long way from when the Sixers had max cap space and we were talking about them maybe getting LeBron.
Oh, that would have been nice.
And people were actually arguing they shouldn't go after LeBron because he would stymie the development of our young stars. But yeah, now we're talking about Chris Chioza. So it's the other side of the coin.
We managed to stymie ourselves. So
yeah.
LeBron would have fixed a lot of your problems. that's for sure. But
bold
so
take.
There are some other guys that I thought of that, like, I think would also be good fits. And the hard part is, like, you know, trying to find guys that can help your team and are willing to accept the role for the right price. And I feel like all of them have, like, a little wart on them to some extent. So, like, another guy I thought of was Rodney Hood, who was having an awesome, awesome season until he, like, tore his Achilles, which is arguably the worst injury you can get in basketball. Now, everything that, like, all the reports that we've heard is that he should be ready for whenever the season starts. But, like, before he went down to his injury, he was starting for the Trailblazers. He was hitting 49% of his threes, taking, like, a ton of threes per game, like, comparatively to, like, for his total field goals attempts. And he fits the mold there. Like, he is pretty much a low usage player, right? So, like, in my opinion, the ball spends most of its time in the hands of, like, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and, you know, Josh Richardson and Tobias Harris. Like, you need a low usage guy who can run around and shoot threes. And, like, Rodney Hood, I think he would, because of his, he might be an option because, like, his last contract, I think, was around $8 million. But because of his injury, he'll probably be looking at a lesser contract. So, like, you might be able to reasonably get him for $5.7 million. And that's a guy who could maybe move the needle a little bit for the Sixers, right?
No, I would definitely like Rodney Hood. The injury is scary, but just, like, his level of shooting and his ability to get his shot off is, like, just very enticing. I know what you're saying about, like, his last contract was only $8 million, and there's, with the injury, how you can, like, I understand the logical conclusion of that could be, like, a $5 million contract for him. I'd worry about, like, say the Knicks strike out on, like, Fred VanVleet and they're just bored and they offer Rodney Hood, like, 2 years, $20 million. Like, that could happen. Like, this isn't, like, going after a guy like Chioza, like, he is not going to get that kind of offer. Like, you offer him $5 million for a year, he'll probably take it. He would love that. Rodney Hood might have other options. It's no guarantee, but I could definitely see a team saying it's worth it to pay a little more than that.
So Hood has the player option. Do we think he's definitely opting out of that given the injury?
Actually, yeah, he's probably opting in.
I don't know. I forgot that he had a player option. I don't know how I missed that. That's a great question, though. I mean,
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
No, it depends on the state of his injury. Like, if he thinks he can come back and play, I don't know. I mean, and the interesting part is we saw how, like, Gary Trent Jr. stepped up in Portland. So, like, what if part of his role is affected by – and they have Ariza. So, like, there's a little bit of a – and they still have Carmelo. So, like, just in terms of, like, those forward slash guard type – you know, wing type of players, there might be, like, a little bit of a logjam there. I missed that, though. I totally missed that he had a player option.
Hood would only be opting in, though, for, like, about $6 million. So, it's not really – so, like, I guess the argument would be if he thinks he can make more, he'd probably, like, opt out because he thinks he could get a bigger contract. But honestly, that's kind of what my concern was. I just don't think that one. again, sad state of the Sixers, Rodney Hood is probably a bit of a pipe dream for us.
Yeah, before the injury, he like you discussed, he was playing great. And I think he was looking at probably like a $10 million a year contract from somebody as a guy who could be a potential starter or like a sixth, seventh man kind of microwave scorer off the bench type of guy. But yeah, the injury kind of throws things into question. Like, is he going to opt in to the next year because he's in a situation where he know he can succeed and he can just try to show he's healthy, rebuild his value a little bit, and then get the bigger contract next summer. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that could definitely happen. Well, since we basically ruled out like several maybe better NBA players, how about we talk about your guy Tyler Dorsey, who we might not know that well, many of our viewers might not know that well, like, but he definitely like would be willing to sign for as much money as the Sixers could offer.
Yeah, so it was funny. I was just talking to Joe Mullinex from SB Nation, who works for the Grizzly site, and so he's one of those guys who it's like 6'5", came out of Oregon, was a second round draft pick, and you know he can score, right? So like in my opinion, he can really score the basketball, and he spent a couple of years in the NBA, and like. The weird part is he ends his career by starting like 11 games in a row for the Grizzlies. Now this was before they got Ja Morant and they weren't that good at all, but like he was playing in crunch time. He was routinely scoring in double figures and he can really, in my opinion, he can really shoot like, and it, so he goes and he plays in Israel this year and like, or last year. And he did really, really well, right? Like could absolutely shoot the ball. In my opinion, like he improved off of the pick and roll, creating for himself, creating for others. So he re-signed with this team, but he has like an NBA buyout clause. This is what he would bring, right? So he's a guy that has microwave scoring potential. He's not an incredible athlete. He's not good defensively. If you're looking for someone in your second unit to score, I think that's okay. And I personally would take a chance on him as one of those guys. Like, I feel like every year we have a few guys that come over from Europe and like used to play in the NBA and they kind of revive their career. He's a candidate to watch. And if it's not this year, it'll be next year. But I thought he really brought his stock up a lot. So I would keep an eye out for Tyler Dorsey.
When you describe him as a microwave scorer, it just kind of hits me that all the guys we're describing are like, they're worse versions of Alec Burks, of what he was for the Sixers in the playoffs, which, again, like the Sixers probably can't afford to re-sign Burks considering how much money he's going to warrant after having a pretty good year. Probably even the same thing for Glenn Robinson III. So I guess it's like, in a way, they're trying to just recoup value there, not lose too much, because they just desperately need that scoring creation. And you obviously can get that from other places. There's been tons of rumors about, like, the long rumored Al Horford plus assets for Buddy Hield trade is the big one that all Sixers fans are just praying happens eventually, and that solves a lot of your problems. And from there, that's where you're talking about looking for a backup big, because really the only other, after having so many centers for so many years, really the only backup bigs left on the roster after that would be Norvell Pell. So, and I mean, we love Norvell. Norvell's a great guy. I don't think he's ready though to like help a team that wants to be good in the next year.
Maybe Phil Jabbour, who just became the new VP of player personnel with Sacramento, is the Trojan horse to make the Horford Buddy Hield deal go through.
He's a sleeper agent like Mike Muscala, who helped us get that 21st overall pick back.
Exactly. They're just sprinkling guys all over the league to help us, and they had the long game in mind.
Sneaky Sixers.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
But if we're talking about, like, backup big men, like, there are a couple. Like, you know, imagine that scenario where it happened where, like, Horford would get traded for Buddy Hield, which would be awesome for the Sixers. Yes. Like, that would totally change the trajectory of your team. You wouldn't need that big. And, like, one of the guys that I've kind of had my eye on is Noah Vonleh, who played really well with the Knicks. And then, like, didn't really get a lot of playing time this year. And, like, I'll be honest, I wasn't following Noah Vonleh, like, every single day. But when he was on the Knicks, like, I watched a lot of him. I was like, this guy can play basketball. So I still think he has potential. He's still only 24 years old. If I remember, he's got, like, one of those crazy wingspans as well. And, like,
they did it on – when he got drafted as a rookie, they, like, did a thing where his hands are bigger than Kawhi's, actually. It's, like, gigantic hands. But, wait, Noah Vonleh's only 24?
He's 25, yeah.
Okay. That's surprising. Although earlier today I learned that Derek Favors is only 29. Crazy. That was one of the craziest things. Like, how is Derek Favors 29? He's been in the league since, like, 2010.
He was involved in the draft trade to get Deron Williams out of Utah. Like, which feels like it was a lifetime ago.
You know what's a sad fact? Buddy Hield is only a year and a half younger than Derek Favors.
Crazy. Weird. It's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah, that's why teams place, like we talk about when there are the draft prospects, and why would you care if he's 22 if he can play? But they definitely value a guy who's 19 because you still have so much more room to grow. And when you're on the second contract, then suddenly you're like, oh, the guy's still 24 versus a guy like Buddy Hield, where he's kind of like approaching the tail end of his prime already, even though people think of him still as a young player.
Back to Noah Vonleh. Like, so my one thing would be is that if we want a backup center for the Sixers, I would really appreciate if they could stretch the floor just a little bit of shooting capability. I know it's hard to get those guys for very small contracts, given that that's a useful skill for a center to have. I haven't tracked Noah Vonleh probably as closely as you have. I don't think he really has that kind of shooting ability, do you?
Let me look it up, because the last time I checked, like when he was in New York, I thought he was shooting the ball pretty well. Let's see, I'm looking at it. Yeah, so when he was in New York, he took like 2 threes a game and made, you know, just below 34%, which, like, I think that's perfectly fine for, like, your backup big. Like, I would be, like, as a Celtics fan, I'd be, like, ecstatic if Daniel Theis was hitting consistently 34% on, like, 2 threes a game, or, like, Robert Williams one day, like, 10 years from now was maybe taking threes. So, like, I think that's good enough, and I think – like when you watch him play, he passes the eye test. It might be one of those scenarios where he just needs like a consistent opportunity to get out on the court. And a coach says like, listen, like you're going to play X amount of minutes per game. And when you're out there, if you're open from three, I always want you to shoot it. And I think sometimes that really does wonders for a player. So he's a guy that I would have circled for sure. I think he'd be a good addition there. Even if like, you know, Al Horford is still on the team, which I think he will be, I think he would still be a fit there.
No, the shooting like 34% was definitely like, that's just what we need, like an acceptable level so the defense respects him. Because the other thing you can do with the center role even is just if you properly like split Embiid and Simmons playing time. I mean, everyone likes to theorize about how Ben Simmons could be a pretty good small ball five. Another name I was thinking about who's going to be a free agent this year is Myers Leonard, who I don't know if he'd sign for that little. He might, but he shoots the ball pretty well, and despite maybe not having a ton of playoff value due to like limited mobility and stuff like that, like he can spread the floor as a big man, and he's strong enough that he can basically hang inside for like those games where Joel, like you're not giving up too much size and strength or even like all the stuff that Joel brings with Myers. Like you're obviously giving it up, but you're not giving up as much as maybe you wanted.
Yeah, Leonard's coming off a $10 million a year contract, and this is probably his last chance to really like cash in with a big deal at the tail. Like, he's 28 right now.
But who's giving him that big deal?
I mean, even if it's a shorter term, like it might not be a 4-year deal, but somebody's going to give him more than $6 million a year as a big who can stretch the floor. And he actually, like, the advanced analytics numbers on him and Kelly Olynyk when they were on the floor for Miami in those finals was actually pretty good. So there's a lot of things that point to him being a positive contributor when he's out there. So I just don't see him being a fit given the cap constraints the Sixers are under.
Fair, although I'm just, with every one of these free agents, there's in the back of my head, like, what if the Knicks just throw $15 million at them because they're bored? I just can't help but think that every time. And it's going to make me upset when they take away a guy who could actually help the Sixers just so they can, the Knicks can be, I don't know, 20 and 62 instead of 18 and 64.
And they can finish their all power forward roster that they're assembling.
And, like, even a team, you know, imagine like the Pistons fail to re-sign Christian Wood, like they're going to need a center, right? They're going to need a guy who can, like, you know, do exactly what Myers Leonard does. So like, I wouldn't be, I don't know. I like Myers Leonard, and I'm like, I could be making this up, but I'm pretty sure at some point in his life, he was like a 50, 40, 90 guy. like, I definitely need a fact check on that.
High school, but, maybe? I don't know.
I'm like, this is something that's going to drive me nuts. So like, and now I need to look it up. But yeah, I mean, like, listen, if you're a team like New York, I would totally pursue him just because they're starting, and I feel like we say this every year, but like, they're starting a rebuild there. And if you can get a guy who can bring to you the culture of Miami and try and instill that a little bit in New York, like, yeah, that okay. See, I was right about this 50, 40, 90. Now, he only played like 15 minutes a game, but it was 54. There we go. Okay. So now we can say it. We can add Myers Leonard to the list of like Dirk Nowitzki and Steve Nash for the 50, 40, 90 club. But I could see a team giving him like maybe like a 3-year deal with a team option for the third year and just really overpaying him. But if he wants to remain competitive, which he might because he just went to the finals, Philadelphia would be a really good spot for him.
I can't.
Wouldn't the Heat also have his bird rights? So if he wanted to remain in a competitive situation and he could just re-sign there.
Yeah, he could. I mean, it'll be interesting to watch what Miami does this year regardless, just because they're looking to keep cap space open for next year. So, like, yeah, they could resign him and then, like, trade him if they need be, right? Yeah, so the bird rights is important. I mean, like, I wouldn't put a great percentage chance of him landing in Philadelphia, but the impact he would have on that team would be really nice if he went there.
I can't remember who specifically said it. I think it might have been Zach Lowe, but do you remember how in the Western Conference Finals when he was with the Blazers, he had like 27 in the first half of game 3, I think. And I think Zach Lowe described it as that's like being struck by lightning twice if you're the Warriors. It was just one of the funniest things ever I heard. Because that's still like Myers, well, useful. There's a reason Myers does not get a ton of time with all the teams he plays with. Like, he's functional, he's serviceable, but he's just, at the end of the day, he can occasionally hit threes at a decent rate, and you don't get destroyed on the inside because he's at least strong, but not providing you a ton of other things. Another Miami Heat, I don't know if you would even call him a big, but another Miami Heat player who I would be interested in if I'm the Sixers is Derek Jones Jr. And one of the main reasons I would be interested in him as a free agent is that for all their size and athleticism, the Sixers have not had a consistent, like, lob threat. They don't, like, Embiid does not like to roll to the rim. Simmons is usually the one handling the ball. Tobias and Al Horford are definitely not huge lob finishers. And Derek Jones Jr., that's, like, one of the main things he does is he can jump like crazy while also being, like, a 34 to 30% three-point shooter the last few years. Really good on defense when you can put him in the right situations because of his length and quickness. So he would be a guy I'd be interested in just, like, as a different kind of player from what the Sixers have right now. He would just, I think, inject like a burst of energy to their team overall.
Jones could be what Jeremy Grant was before Jeremy Grant took the leap. He He could fill that similar role.
Make that 9 podcasts in a row where we have mentioned how Jeremy Grant was once a Sixer and our frustrations that he's not a Sixer now.
We did it, Daniel. The streak continues.
I love Jeremy Grant. Yeah, I mean, like, Derrick Jones Jr. is a top percentile athlete in the NBA. And hopefully his shot, like, really becomes consistent. And, like, there are pluses and minuses to signing him. So, like, one of them is the worry about his shot. The other, like, the plus is that you can literally play him just about anywhere on defense. Like, if you watch how Miami use him, especially in that zone, like, here's Derrick Jones Jr. is, like, a massive guy, incredible athlete, and they're playing him at the top of the zone. And it's, like, you know, good luck penetrating the zone and passing along there. And, like, picturing him on the fast break with Ben Simmons, if, like, you know, if they stagger Ben Simmons' minutes and he's leading a second unit and it's like him, Richardson, Derrick Jones Jr., like, that, those transition points are going to be unbelievable. So I would like that. Plus, like, there's something to be said about having just professionals on your team and bringing guys on your team who know what it's like to compete for their job. I think he'd be a good fit there.
Mm-hmm. And I think just a theme I'm noticing here with, like, a guy like Derrick Jones or these small creators like Chris Chioza's, the Sixers could really use some more urgency in their offense and their overall style of play. So many times it's just kind of monotonous. Everyone's standing still. Everything's moving slowly. There's no, like, kind of constant movement or pace. Like, you watch the Miami Heat play, and it's like, no matter what they're doing, all the time in their offense, everyone's running around. There's always, like, something happening. There's no wasted motion. They try and use all 24 seconds as best they can, just keep the energy up. So I think the Sixers really could use just some guy who brings the energy. Like, and the guy before that was, like, TJ McConnell, one of my favorite players ever. Like, TJ brought some energy to that team, whether it just be because he's that kind of guy who's so fiery and intense and kind of lovable that you just kind of all, like, the whole team, like, takes his cue and just works with him through that. Or TJ McConnell just always wanting to push the ball and trying to get things moving as best he could. So I don't know. Those are the kind of players I'd be targeting. Are there any other guards like that you see in this free agency class that could help the Sixers in that way?
I don't know if I would call him a guard. I call him kind of like a wing forward hybrid, but so in my opinion, the Sixers definitely have the talent to win a title. But we also know that they're, like, projected salary over the next few years is, like, through the roof, right? So, like, I don't think they have many meaningful ways of acquiring a player who has a very high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
One of those guys that they could get, he's also very, very high risk and could bust out of the league. But, like, I thought Josh Jackson had a really good revival this year.
I thought you were going to bring him up. I remember reading your piece on him.
Yeah, his first couple years in the league were very, very interesting, to say the least. And then he obviously has maturity issues, but there's a reason that this guy was a top 5 draft pick. And when you look at him, he's much, much better at finishing out the rim now. Like, it's cool to see players with extreme athleticism, like, actually learn how to use it. And watching him be able to learn his athleticism and how to unleash it was awesome. He's an improving 3-point shooter, especially from the corner. And he's a really good defender. So, like, he's a guy who, if you bring him on your team, which you might be able to get for, like, really, really cheap, it's a dart throw, right? And if that dart lands and you hit a bullseye, like, it's just worth it for me. It's such a cheap contract. Like, you know, the Sixers are kind of lacking for ways to bring in, like, a meaningful, you know, variant for talent. And he's one of those guys. So that's someone who, I don't know, like, if I'd advocate for them to sign him, but if they did, I would immediately talk myself into being like, okay, like, that's a sneaky good signing.
No, we're not too far removed from, I mean, that draft, like, when the Sixers had the 3rd pick, a lot of people thought they might take Josh Jackson. You know, one day we're going to look up and the Sixers will have had every player from the 2017 draft on their team except for Jason Tatum.
Right.
But, no, what you said about Jackson, like, he played pretty well for the Grizzlies in a stint this year after basically the Sun. Like, we don't talk about his second year of the Suns. Like, seriously, if you're listening to this, I do not recommend watching his second year Suns highlights. They will kind of sour you on him entirely. But he kind of fixed that hitch in his shot at least a little, so he could kind of gave you the hope of a decent shooter. He's a freak athlete, just incredible burst and explosiveness with some length too. And also just, I think his passing is okay. Now, I do know he tries some pretty crazy floaters is what I've seen from him before. But yeah, I mean, I'm all in on like taking a guy like that who just, there might still be something there. Like, there is a chance he's maybe Stanley Johnson-esque and that it's just not going to happen. But I don't know. I liked what I saw from the Grizzlies this year too. So what do you think, Sean?
He could, yeah. I mean, Stanley Johnson's an interesting comparison. Another guy that kind of falls in that kind of realm is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who everyone kind of wrote off. And then all of a sudden, he's the third best player on a team winning the finals. Like, he played amazing in these most recent finals for the Lakers. So, yeah, you never know when you have that kind of baseline of athleticism and fluidity to your game that everything can kind of finally click. And, yeah, Jackson had a good year last year. I would just be curious, what do we think the market for him would be? Like, what would the expectations of his next contract be?
So the Grizzlies turned down his option, which I think was going to be for like $7 or $8 million. So that leads me to believe that what they think is they could get him for cheaper if they wanted to bring him back. And then the flip side of that is they also don't think he's worth $8 million, which as of right now, like, they're probably right. So I really don't know. Like, I think a lot of teams will be scared off a little bit by some of his like maturity issues, although those seem to have kind of gotten better last year. I wouldn't be surprised if he got somewhere like a 2-year deal for $8 million, $7 million, with the second year being like a team option. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a little less than that, but I do think he's totally gettable. And like, one of the things that I, like, as a Celtics fan, I always grow jealous of the Sixers, because at the end of the day, like, and maybe this is a positive spin, but they have the talent it takes to win a title, and it allows you to gamble. And if I was Daryl Morey, who's definitely going to end up there. No, I'm kidding. But if I was their executive, if I was Alan Brand, I'd be like, yeah, I'll take this dice roll because we have the top tier talent regardless. But yeah, I mean, to get back to your original question, I do think he's affordable for the Sixers. That would be my guess.
Mark the time and day, October 15th, 2020, 2 p.m. Eastern time. A Celtics fan said they are jealous of the Sixers. A historic event. I can't imagine that's ever happened before. Can you, Sean?
It's definitely a historic day.
So it's definitely there's some recency bias going on. Like, I've done a lot of soul searching with my Celtics, and ultimately maybe I was a little overzealous with the word jealous, but oh, good rhyming there. But I have a crush on Joel Embiid. Like, I think there are a handful of players in the NBA who could win Defensive Player of the Year and MVP in the same season. He's one of them. And it's just a matter of him doing it. But like, that's why, like, when I talk to Sixers fans, like, you know, take a step back, like, take your foot off the ledge there. Like, things are going to be okay. Like, the hardest part is acquiring, championship level talent, and you guys have it.
Well, if you're still like on the fence about needing to do soul searching about the Celtics versus how you feel about the Sixers, there's 4 games from about 6 weeks ago that I could direct you to rewatch. And I think you might feel a little better about your situation vis-a-vis that of the Sixers.
Maybe I will go back and I'll rewatch that just to like see Kemba. I feel like every single chance there was like for some kind of buzzer beating shot, I feel like Kemba Walker made it during that series, whether it was like halftime, end of a quarter. Am I wrong here?
No, you're right, and that's partially because the Sixers haven't had a guy who could defend a small point guard in 7 years. So true. Since Drew Holiday, there's not been a guy like that on the roster. Mm. And you mentioned now you have a crush on Joel Embiid. I, I, in return, think I have a crush on the Time Lord, Robert Williams, one of... Mm-hmm. I was really a big advocate of them just playing him more. I love his game so much. If he's in any way available, I am interested.
You know, there is a very, very small percentage chance that, like, he actually could be. And I'll tell you why. So, like, the reports about Enes Kanter, I don't want to make this like a Celtics pod, but, like, the reports about Enes Kanter may opt out for, you know, a variety of reasons. And if he does, like, I would expect the Celtics to go after a guy like Aaron Baines and just have their front court, have their center position be Baines and Theis. And I think Williams could actually be expendable in that case. But that's, there are so many moving pieces to get to there, you know, to get to that point. But yeah, I love Time Lord. And they definitely will, like, next year, if he's healthy, he's going to get, you know, 24, 25 minutes a game, which is awesome. Good for him.
It's amazing that we somehow got to the Time Lord and Celtics center moves off of Josh Jackson was the original debate. And I was just wanted to mention this, how I don't know how inclined you guys are to the NBA draft. I'm a very big, like, follower. And the big thing of Josh Jackson coming in the draft was just how bad the hitch in his shot was. One of the most, like, one of the favorite prospects of all draft Twitter was Devin Vassell of Florida State. Basically this lanky 3-and-D wing who everyone thought you could plug and play and he'd just be pretty good right away. There was a video of him today shooting shots and he changed his jump shot form. And now instead of like a pretty clean form that he already had, he's like two hands over the top of his head, like chucking it. And literally, like, everyone thinks the big news of the day was the Morey news. Like, to draft Twitter, it is by far the Devin Vassell, what the heck just happened to his shot form. Like, people are scrambling to change their boards. Again, and a little bit of a rabbit hole, and I don't hope I didn't leave you two out in the dark there of that reference, but just I came to mind when we were talking about Josh Jackson.
No. You know who's another guy? So, yeah, I definitely follow – I mean, not as much this year. I followed him more last year, but I do follow draft. But another guy who you should look up is, like, go look at Blake Griffin high school videos, like his high school mixtape, and he's, like, a really good jump shooter. And then you watch his shot today and you're like, who do you pay to teach you to shoot like this? Cause it's like, ask for your money back. If it's not broken, don't fix it is what I'm driving at.
Sounds like Vassell's destined to slide to 21 and fulfill his destiny as Sixers prospect with messed up jump shot.
Sean, you beat me to that joke. I was just about to, like, say something in that vein, but you just had to come in and steal that one from me.
It was on a platter.
You guys missed out on another one, too, because I remember on that draft night where you took Mikal Bridges.
Oh.
He randomly developed a hitch this year, too. I mean,
they coached it into him, like, because at Villanova, he was a sniper. Like, he was just knocking down everything, and I think it was someone on the Suns, like, basically, I'm not sure. I think it was some coach on the Suns told him he should start changing it, and he started, like, bringing it to the side of his body or something. He's kind of fixed it. And we've talked about Mikal Bridges a lot before. I was not a fan of the trade in the moment. I thought Mikal was just awesome and would be a perfect fit. And guess what? Mikal is awesome, and he's a great fit because he's all, like, by next year, he'll probably be second team defense at least. With, like, I mean, if you were trying to, like, run in a straight line from one, like, say you're running 30 yards from one side of a field to another, and Mikal Bridges is standing in front of you and just spreading his arms out, do you think you could get around him?
No.
Yeah, same.
Okay, yeah, I always remember Bridges at the top of that full court 1-3-1 press that Jay Wright had developed that basically was the – change up he would throw whenever he needed to swing momentum in a big game, and Bridges would just be everywhere. And he's definitely improved a lot this past year just in terms of, you know, creation and a little bit of, like, the man-to-man defense and just being more of, like, a shutdown defender as opposed to, like, getting in the passing lanes and deflections type guy. So he's just on a rocket ship with his potential for sure.
He's a freak.
Well, Matt, do you have any other free agents? Like, we're probably got, like, just a few minutes left here. Any other free agents you think the Sixers could use that just throw them out there. Give us, like, some quick synopsis of things they can bring to the Sixers.
I'll give you some quick names. Shabazz Napier. Shabazz Napier is a guy who's kind of like, he's kind of fallen into like journeyman syndrome. Like, he is a player who I think is a quality backup point guard in the NBA. And I'm not saying this just because I'm a UConn fan, but like, he's one of those guys where if you're a general manager and you're trying to make salaries work, you're like, okay, what if we give you Shabazz Napier? So like, you're always willing to get rid of him. And then on the other side, if you're the general manager and you hear that and you're like, okay, we could take Shabazz Napier. Like, he can play like 17, 18 minutes a game for us and do it pretty well. So like, he's a guy I would hate if he ended up on the Sixers because I want him on my Celtics just to get the Kemba reunion. He's from Boston. It makes so much sense. He's a guy I would look at. I would also look at Etuan Moore, who I think is pretty reasonable. Career 39% from three. He's on the last year, I think, of an $8.6 million contract, and he's at the stage of his career where he will be taking less money and he may want to stay competitive. I think that's actually one a reasonable signing. A guy like Tyler Johnson is a name I'll throw out there. I mean, he got way overpaid on his last contract. So
you think
there's going to be a market reset for him, but he's okay. And one last name I'll throw at you. Again, like, this would be another one of those high-risk, high-ceiling guys. If the Sixers did want to chase someone like Harry Giles out of Sacramento, obviously we know his injury concerns, but he still is like a pretty skilled big to be a backup big for you. So those are the names that I have, and if I can like predict one of those names, I'll be very, very happy. So hopefully the Sixers do me some good here and sign one of those guys.
No, I had Shabazz Napier down too. I've always thought pretty highly of him. Of course, I'm probably biased because as a kid, just watching him light up the 2014 NCAA tournament was surreal. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's shot around 34-38% from three for most of his career. He shot really well at the rim this past year. His defense is bad, but I mean, I guess if kind of like him, he's probably what you were hoping to get out of Trey Burke if you were the Sixers this past year. Which honestly, Trey Burke was not that bad. There's a lot of debate amongst Sixers fans, like, was Trey Burke bad or not? Some adamantly believe that he actually was bad and cutting him was fine. Others are like, this guy can really shoot and he played well in the playoffs for the Mavs. Why'd we get rid of him? I think I lean more towards that camp. So I would definitely be in favor of Shabazz. Etuan Moore I've always liked. I do like his shot a lot. And just, again, if you can shoot the ball pretty well from the field and like not be catastrophic dribbling the ball, you're probably a good fit with the Sixers. I'm not a huge fan of Tyler Johnson. I don't know how much that would help. Harry Giles, and again, Harry Giles is like, as a big man who can't really shoot threes, even if though he has shot well from mid-range, you still would have to just bet that he could extend it from three, and it's hard to make that bet. I mean, Harry Giles I'm fine with if like Al Horford gets traded or they make that move, because then you are looking for a backup center, and he'd be great for that, but he would be like dependent on that move. So out of those four names, Shabazz Napier is definitely my favorite.
Me too.
Sean, any last thoughts?
I've always liked Giles. Dating back, I was in Greece on vacation, and we happened to be in Crete, about 15 minutes away from where the Team USA U18 team was playing, that had Harry Giles, Josh Jackson, Jason Tatum, and Jalen Brunson on it. And I convinced the group I was with to go watch this game. And Harry Giles was the best guy on the court. So ever since then, I've had an irrational fondness for him and his game. And I hope that, whatever injury concerns he had in the past, he can fully put behind him and reach his potential. So I would love to see him in a Sixers uniform on a minimum contract. But I think that'd be one of those low risk, potentially high upside moves that Matt was talking about a little earlier in regard to Jackson.
Well, Matt, you've definitely helped us sort out what is going to be a tricky free agency for the Sixers in the next few months. Due to their own previous mistakes, it's not going to be easy, but you definitely gave us some hope for maybe some possible solutions. Probably no one signing fix all kind of guy out there, but definitely some guys who can help.
Yeah, I'm always happy to come on and talk about free agents and try and, hype up Sixers fans, although part of me feels conflicted about doing that, but it was, this was fun and I appreciate it.
Matt, quickly let everyone know where they can find all your work, plug whatever you got to plug.
Sure. At Matt Esposito _ on Twitter. You can, my website right now looks like, what's a good way of putting it? My website looks like a finger painting from like a third grader, but we are getting an updated website within a couple of weeks. That's going to look sleek and cool. So theplaygrounder.com, we have some fun. We have some fun stuff for you guys. Some good content over there.
Yeah. I can't recommend enough the website. I've loved reading their stuff. I remember just the first time I read the article about Ricky Rubio and how he draws fouls so well. And it was a quick short read, but illustrated really well. Something I was probably, even me as a huge NBA fan, was just probably didn't know about Ricky Rubio already. You're going to learn a lot from it if you read that website about certain things of players. They go really in depth of rookies or other kinds of players like that. Maybe the players that aren't talked about a ton. So if you're a really hardcore NBA fan, you're going to want to read The Playgrounder.
Yeah, if you guys like Ricky Rubio free throw attempt rate stuff. Yeah. So in other words, like if you don't have a life, you might like this website is what I'm driving at.
That felt like a shot at me.
It's a shot at both of us.
Sean, it was a ton of fun having Matt on. Maybe we'll have him on late in the future. It'd be definitely, this was a lot of fun, and I'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Thanks again to Matt for coming on. And Daniel, I'll spend the next 6 days researching potential Jeremy Grant connections to bring into next week's podcast.
All right. Sounds good, Sean.
See ya.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.